and that made hers itch for cigarettes, which Abbas hated. He wasn't a prayer and fasting type, though both Shabanis occasionally had to put on a show for his job. No, his objection was rather the smell, which he said made him queasy. Though maybe after dinner, and once Alia was asleep, he would return to the office? She hated that, which was where the cigarettes came in. Traffic was a grind as they inched northbound from Yusuf Abad up to the restaurant off Jordan Avenue. Not a drive any Tehrani wanted to make in rush hour, but this was where the Shabanis went to celebrate birthdays. Not the sort of ritual a newly minted five-year-old girl was likely to let you break. Alia was singing to the stuffed lamb in the back seat, occasionally interjecting,
"Ugh, why so slow, Papa?"
"Traffic, love," Roya said. "Papa is going as fast as he can."
As they were passing a sycamore-lined median, Alia began singing again. This time, it wasn't nonsense. It was a nursery rhyme, the one about the little chicken and the pool, a bath time favorite. For a moment, with all of them together in the car, the singing made Roya feel warm and cozy. Tonight, they might actually have fun. Abbas's phone began to light up and buzz with incoming messages.
"I'm picking up the shoes tomorrow," Roya said,
while Abbas typed out a message on his phone. No response, except a few angry honks from the car behind them.
"Abbas."
"Oh, what?"
Face still fastened to the phone.
"I said I'm picking up your shoes tomorrow. The ones I had made for your birthday."
"That's great. That's great."
No sooner had he put his phone down than it would blink and buzz again. The traffic, the toddler sing-song, which was growing quite loud.
The honks.
Roya rifled through her purse and tossed it back at her feet in a huff. A mistake, she thought, not to bring the cigarettes.
"Does your uncle know it's her birthday?"
"What? I don't know."
The traffic was loosening. The car in front puttered ahead. Roya looked at Abbas, who was looking at his phone.
"Abbas, go."
"Oh."
The phone clattered into the cup holder. Abbas jerked the car forward. They drove in silence for a few moments. Alia had stopped singing. All Roya could hear was the beep and buzz of his phone.
"Colonel Ghorbani," Roya said, emphasizing his uncle's rank,
which Abbas hated,
"told me at your birthday dinner that you might be his nephew, but you're like a son to him. So how does he not know it's her birthday?"
"I told you, Roya, I don't know what he knows."
"Maybe you could tell him then, when the car stops again and you pick up the phone, so we can enjoy dinner."
"Only some of it is my uncle," Abbas said.
He looked down at his phone and then seemed to catch Roya glaring at him. He drifted his eyes back to the road, chastened. There had been plenty of times in the past month when Roya had wanted to take her husband by the shoulders and shout,
"You're a scientist. You're supposed to be sitting alone in a lab."
She regretted his decision to reject the post-doc opportunity in Paris in favor of Colonel Jafar Ghorbani and whatever his group was doing.
"I design materials that radars can't see," Abbas had said once.
That was all she knew. That was all she was going to get. When they exited the highway, they made a right and then, after a few blocks, turned down a road that would send them right back the way they'd come, but this time on the same side of the street as the restaurant. Roya looked out the window at a van up on the curb. One front tire was missing and it was up on a jack. Abandoned. Another Tehrani driver throwing in the towel.
"Auntie will be there?"
Alia said.
"Yes, sweetheart, she's already there. Auntie's waiting for us. I can have cake now?"
Roya turned and saw Alia eyeing the cake, sitting beside her in the back seat.
"Not now, sweetheart," Roya said. "We're almost